All right, so my name is Kelly. My job is I'm a school teacher, but I teach first grade. So in church, I have been involved with nursery and Sunday school and all the different aspects of children's ministry for about 23 years now. So I started when my daughter was an infant, and she is now 23, and my boys are out of here, but I'm still here. I have kind of run the gamut. So I've done sports ministry, I've done VBS, but I have been in nursery for 23 years, and I've been doing the toddlers on Wednesday nights for quite a while now. At our church, the way we work Wednesday nights is on Sunday mornings, they're separated. So on Sunday morning, we have just the babies back here, under 2-year-old. And then we have a 2-year-old room and a 3-year-old room. On Wednesday nights, everyone below 4 is back here. On Sunday nights, all the Sunday school classes are back here because there's not that many kids that come Sunday night. So that being said, there's a lot of stuff that goes on with toddlers, especially when you have them mixed. And I know in a lot of churches, under 4 is together all the time. So ours is a little bit different. But my experience with the toddlers is having that age group from 4 down to the infants on Wednesday nights. So in Matthew, Jesus says, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." So a lot of times when we think about toddlers, we're thinking it's more like a babysitting kind of service. It's more ministering to the parents. But when you have those toddlers as well as the infants, it's kind of all encompassing. You know, they're old enough to understand these basic things that Jesus loves you. And Jesus came and died on the cross for your salvation. So it's important to make sure that you keep those ideas in your head when you're dealing with these kids and how much they can actually soak up. It's amazing sometimes when the parents come back and they're like, "Oh my goodness, last week they were talking about this, that, and the other, and you must have taught them so well, and they told us that Jesus loves them, and Jesus is the way." And so even though they're very small, their hearts are wide open to Jesus, and that's a great thing. So I'm just going to kind of take you through a typical Wednesday night. On Wednesday night, we get here. I get here first usually because I'm the coordinator and I'm kind of in charge on Wednesday nights back here. So I check and make sure that the rooms are safe, that there's no food on the floor, that there's no small pieces they could pick up and put in, all those kind of safety issues. We do have a daycare back here during the day because this is a school, as well as our church. So back here during the day is the nursery. So anyone that teaches here or works here, their kids are back here. So sometimes when I come back, there is food in trash cans or things like that, or a trash can was left in the room where as opposed to we keep it in the back. So kids can't get it, that kind of stuff. There are so many allergies anymore that I really try to make sure that there are no trash cans in the room, no food in the room, no drinks are left hanging around or things like that. Check the outlets, all those kinds of safety kind of things. One week we came in and here they had been doing electrical work during the day and there were tiny little pieces of wires on the floor that didn't get vacuumed up at the end of the day. And I just happened to see it out of the corner of my eye and was able to do a quick vacuum. So it seems like, oh, I should be able to come back. So I just always check and make sure. If you are in a room that you are sharing with someone else, like I said, we share with the nursery that's here during the day, you want to try and make sure, go through, make sure that like nothing got broken during the day, nothing is out that is breakable, that maybe the teacher was using during the day. This is kind of easy for us in here because it is the nursery in here, but some of our other Sunday school classrooms, we have kids in like the 4th grade classroom and the 5th grade classroom. So there may be something that's out that maybe you just want to put up higher depending on the kids in your age group. I know one week I was in a different classroom, the pencil sharpener was left out, you know, and I didn't think anything of it being a teacher. I know my kids are not allowed near my desk, but there was a friend in the classroom that just went right to that pencil sharpener. I was like, whoa. So what we also do here is a lot of times the teachers cover their things with like a sheet. So anything that is under the sheet, they know they're not allowed to touch in the older rooms. And that just keeps them from like getting to manipulatives and things like that that the teachers have. Volunteers, it's really important that they come early so that you are able to pray before a service starts. One of the prayers that we always pray on Sunday and Wednesday is that we have happy babies and happy kids that are easily separated from parents. Some weeks that works like a charm, some weeks it doesn't. But we always pray for those happy kids to be coming in. Know the lesson that you're going to teach. Make sure all your materials are ready to go before any of the kids even arrive. So here we sign in about 15 minutes before service actually starts. So under sign in, I have Romans 15 says, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. That can be really hard. Like I said, I'm a school teacher, so I kind of go from school. I go home for about an hour and a half, 2 hours, and then I'm here. I have really rough days some days, and some days I don't quite feel welcoming. So I, like Chris was saying, you got to kind of psych yourself up, you know? It's like, I'm doing this for God. This is going to be an awesome night. One of the things I love about Wednesday night is it's like, it's the middle of the week. Pumps me back up. Even if I'm back here with the toddlers, I get to fellowship with other volunteers. We do praise and worship, you know? So it does, it kind of refills me to kind of get through the rest of my work week, as well as refilling my tank for anyone else that I come in contact with. You have no idea what their day's been like. They could have had the worst day. Like, you're coming in, I had a really tough day. Their day could have been horrendous. Some of the kids are coming from daycare, getting fast food, and coming to church because their parent knows they need to be in service that night because they need to be refilled for the rest of the week. So just be gracious. Show them love. Our guys here are pretty routine. They come on a certain schedule. There are some kids that we have 1 month, but not like they're every other month kids. I don't know how their schedule works at home. But get to know them. Get to know their families and their names so that when they're coming up, you can greet them as they come down the hallway. That's really important. Be welcoming to them. It's never too late to sign a parent in. Our service starts at 7 o'clock on Wednesday. We have had parents come at 8 o'clock to sign in their kids. Be welcoming. You have no idea of the struggle that it might have been from them to get to their house to here. You don't know if they were in traffic, if something happened at home. Maybe they weren't going to come and decided last minute to come. So always be welcoming. That 10 minutes that they are in service could make the rest of their week just be so much better. So always a smile. Even if you're kind of frustrated, fake it. You know, oh, we're so glad you came, you know. But just make sure that you are very welcoming, that they know they're late. They're already stressed out because they're late. They don't need you to say, oh, hi, you're signing in now? You know, be very welcoming to them and accepting them. I'm trying to go through my list because I know I'm going to go off the rails if I don't. We have one person sign in on Wednesday nights. On Sunday when it's busier, we might have two sign-in people. But typically, we always have one person behind the counter that takes the kid in, listens to whatever the parents need to let you know, and then we hand the child off to the room. So on Wednesday nights, we have the option of both rooms. Lately, we've just been using one room because our infants are kind of hit or miss. If we have really little ones, we try to keep them away because three, almost four, and a baby are completely different. So if you can separate, that's great. If not, you make it work. So we do have cribs in the room that we can put the babies in. Sometimes they come in asleep because they fall asleep in the car. And we'll just put them right in the crib, or a volunteer will be separated to hold that child. If we have enough volunteers and we can separate and it makes it worthwhile, then we will separate and have under twos over here, the really little ones over there, just to kind of keep the peace. The three-year-olds are very interested in babies. They want to touch them. They want to hug them. They want to, and the babies don't always like that. So we want to make sure that we have those options. As the sign-in person, when we sign in, we have a computer database. And on there, it will tell me any kind of allergies or things like that. I will pass them that information to the volunteer I give the kid to. So, for example, we have two children that have to use the diapers in their diaper bag because they have allergies to lanolin or allergies to wipes. So we want to make sure that the volunteers know that going in, this one has an allergy, you cannot use the diapers in the back because we have extras in case people forget them. A lot of our kids are in the midst of potty training. So it's like if the parent says we're potty training this week, I let them know. I said in about half an hour, ask them or tell them that they need to go to the bathroom, depending what on the parent says. Some parents are like, just ask them. Other parents are going to be like, in half an hour, they need to go to the bathroom. So in half an hour, we tell them it's time to go to the bathroom. Any kinds of bruises, cuts, anything they come in with, I let the volunteers know so they don't turn around all of a sudden and freak out because this kid has a big bump on their head. They came in like that. So anything that the parent passes on, sometimes they'll let us know they had a really bad day, their nap was off, they might be cranky, they're not acting their usual, things like that. But as much information as you can give to those volunteers will help you get this child through the service, help them to settle in, those kinds of things. Because our kids are usually pretty routine, I can hand off a child and say, oh, this is Luca. He really likes playing with the trains. And they'll take him right over to the trains and set him down with the trains and be good to go. Or this is so-and-so. They really just need to be snuggled for a couple minutes, and then they'll get down and play. So know the kids the best that you can have. Know the kids the best that you're able to. Some of the children, it might be better if their parent walks them into the room and puts them in the room and then the parent leaves. Some parents go into the room, play with the kids for a little bit, and sneak out. So know your kids, know what's going to work best with them. Work with the parents. So we have one friend on Sunday mornings who is having a really difficult time lately. So we're working with the parent to try and get the child used to it. Let the parent come in and stay with them for a little bit. Let them get them interested in something, you know, just so that the child is more comfortable a bit about coming in. There are also other kids that scream, and you take them from the parent, and as soon as they're in the room, they stop. So knowing your kids that way will help you, again, adjust to that scenario, adjust to this service that you're at. Do they have a special thing? Do they have a special lovey or a toy or a pacifier? When all else fails, we use the bubbles. We have a bubble machine in the room. We have a couple of bubbles that you can blow, which I just found out not too long ago that you don't have to blow the bubbles. You can just wave the wand and the bubbles will still come out. It's much better. You don't feel like you're going to pass out. Bubbles work for most of the kids. A lot of times we have either Praise Baby CDs on or we'll have VeggieTales on. There are some kids that really like that. I have found that if I don't have to put on the video on Wednesday nights, it is better for my sanity because there's not so much noise. And the kids are noisy enough without it. But we have certain kids that's what they look for. So depending on your friends that you have in, we use strollers. As you can see in the hallway, we have quite a few strollers. If there is a child that's just inconsolable, once their parent is out of the hallway, we put them in a stroller and we walk them. There have been services where I have walked the stroller the entire service. And because once they're in the stroller, they're calm. Some of them, once you calm them into the stroller, you can move them into the classroom. Others, you can't. And what you don't want to happen is have someone freaking out in the room, screaming and crying and setting the other kids off. So you want to try and remove them the best you can. There have been weeks where I have literally just had a child in a stroller in this little space right here, and they're fine. As long as they're not in the room with the other kids, they're good to go. We also have a thing of blocks back here behind the counter. We have a door that shuts this way, and I can shut that door, and a kid can just play back here behind me the service. And sometimes that works. They just don't want to be in the classroom. Ask the parents, especially new parents, when they come in, do they have a limit? We have a parent that said, if they just make a sad face, I want you to call me and bring me back. Okay, then that's what we'll do. We have other parents who drop off, and they're like, good luck, see you later, and they leave. They don't care if their kid screams the whole service because they need a break. So know what your parents' limits are. You don't want them coming back and the kid being upset, and then they're like, oh, I wish you would have called me. So know what their limits are when they drop off, especially new families. Like I said, you want to make this an easy transition. A lot of them are coming from churches where they're allowed to keep their children in service with them. Here, children are not allowed in the main sanctuary. So if you want to keep your child with you, you can take them to the Blue Gym where we had lunch, and children are allowed in there. However, on Wednesday nights, we do not have that option. So on Wednesday nights, when the bigger kids sign in, they sign into the gym, and they have rec time to kind of get all the wiggles out before they go into praise and worship and then back to their classrooms. So we don't have that option on Wednesday nights. So some parents are really hesitant about that separation. I always make sure to tell them that, like, all our volunteers have background checks, criminal history checks. We clean the toys in between each service. If the fire alarm were to go off, we will meet them in the back near the playground. And I try to make sure I, like, outline all those things. When I tell them about the fire alarm, I also tell them I've been serving back here for over 20 years and it's never happened. And we've never had to do that, but just in case. Because we need to get the kids out. We can't have the parents in this hallway trying to grab kids and then we don't know where the kids are. So I let them know. If there are a lot of people waiting to sign up, one of your volunteers should be able to give them the spiel. So you set them aside with the new parent. They can talk to them as the new parent fills out the form and you can move on with signing in. Typically on a Wednesday night, we have about 9 to 10 kids back here. We've had as many as 20 during the summer. Our numbers go up because kids are not in school, so there's more time. We also, the last 2 years, have offered Wednesday night meals, and people can come and eat dinner before they come in. So we have, like, hamburgers and hot dogs or barbecue chicken, and it's free. So people come. So our numbers go up during the summer because they come and they eat dinner, and then they come and stay for service. So for new families, you want to make sure that they know that the volunteers that are back here are just not anybody that come walks back that night, that they've been screened. We actually now have an interview process that Chris does with our volunteers to make sure that their beliefs are lining up what we believe here. What is their cry threshold? Are they okay with volunteers changing diapers and soiled clothes? So some parents do not want volunteers. Call me if they have a dirty diaper. Call me if they need to be changed. We're also dealing with kids that are potty training. So sometimes they wait too long to go to the bathroom. Sometimes they don't quite get, are you okay with us changing your clothes? So even if the parents don't bring things, we always have supplies in the back. We have changes of clothes. We have diapers and wipes and things like that. But are they okay with that? Because especially today, a lot of people are not comfortable with that, especially when it's the first time that they're dropping their kid off. The parents aren't really sure if they want to drop them off to begin with. So that kind of gives them an excuse. Oh, if they need to be changed, I'll be right back here. That gives them an out. Like, okay, then they're just going to call me and I don't have to worry about it. Like I said, again, there's other parents. Your first kid, 2 weeks old. Here you go. Bye-bye. So you're going to run the gamut of all different kinds of people that are back here, and then just give them a basic rundown of what's going to happen, why they are in sanctuary, what you're going to be doing with their toddler. Calm down techniques, again, favorite toys, activities, take criers out of the room as soon as the parents are out of the hallway. We have a tendency to have parents kind of hang out so they can look in the window and watch their kid cry, and it's like, if you would leave, we could do something about this. So if that happens and I see them hanging out, I kind of go over to them. I'm like, we will call you within 10 minutes. If they don't settle down, just let us give us, and they can see them. And sometimes the parents don't think they realize that they're out here, and they know they're out here. I swear sometimes they can smell them. You know, it's like they know they're out here no matter how they're trying to hide. So I just go over, I reiterate, if they're not settled down in about 10 minutes, and then as soon as they're out of the hallway, we pull out a stroller and we get them going. And most of them, the stroller is all it takes. They're walking around in the stroller. Most of them at that point, especially at night, they fall asleep because they're tired. It's a late night. Worship. So our typical Wednesday night is the kids come in, they get signed in, and they play. When Chris is finished with the bigger kids doing worship and everybody's in their room, he comes back and does worship with our toddlers. Every week is a different week. It depends on what kids we have and what kind of mood they're in when they come in. But we, like, make sure that they know it's a time set aside. So Chris usually comes in around the same time every week. So we have the kids clean up all the toys. We tell them where they're going to do worship. We had a volunteer that started lining up chairs for them to sit on. They now move their own chairs. So we'll say, oh, Pastor Chris is coming. Let's clean up. So they'll clean up all the toys. They'll start lining up the chairs. They're in the chairs. And then Chris is late, and I'm pulling out my hair like they're not going to sit much longer. But it works really well. I know in the twos and threes rooms on Sundays, they use tape. They have masking tape or like blue painter tape, and they put it on the rug, and the kids sit in rows to do worship them. We make sure that they know it's a special time. Chris comes in. He always starts with who loves you so much, who made the world, and talks about God and why we praise and worship. And we're praising and worship for Jesus because it makes Jesus happy and he loves us so much. And then we sing their songs. So there is a specific routine that we use in the room. I know that if I am not back here, my volunteers know that same routine. They're 2 and 3. They thrive with routine. So keeping that routine as similar as possible week by week is great. And like I said, every once in a while we might have a new kid. We may have a kid that this is their first time in church. May have a kid that it's their first Wednesday night. So they're not always the best, and they might run around or try to play on the toys because we don't leave the room. In the 2s and 3s, their toys and their worship space is kind of separated. So in the 2s room on Sunday, they actually have 2 rooms that are connected. So what they do is they have a playroom, and then they have their lesson and worship room. So when they bring them over, there's really not that many toys. Obviously, it's a free-for-all in there. So you might have to have a volunteer sit with a kid on their lap, something like that, to try and keep them calmer when we're worshiping. I always stand up with Chris. Chris plays the guitar and sings. I do the motions. But it's really important to be able to have somebody that will do the motions for the songs in front of the kids so they can follow along. When I am not in the room, if I'm strolling or something like that, a lot of times Chris will be like half on the guitar, half motions, or one of my other volunteers will do it. And it is amazing. These kids know their motions, even the 2-year-olds. They might not be singing the words, but they know the motions. They know when to stand up, when to sit down, when they're marching. It's amazing. And they just love it. We have a new baby that's been coming, and she is about 8 months old. And the first time she came and Chris came in, he started playing the guitar. She was squealing and laughing and kicking. It was just, it was such a blessing because it was like she enjoyed the worship at 8 months old. She was so excited about it. So it's really a blessing. And like I said, I don't have to be in sanctuary. That will fill me up for the rest of my week, watching these little ones worship. Make sure that the volunteers are participating. So I have a great group of volunteers on Wednesday night. They all sing the songs. They all do the motions. They will sit with the kids on their lap and have the kids doing the motions if they're infants. So it works out really, really well. If you do not have someone to play, they don't care what your voice sounds like. They really don't. They're 2 and 3. Sing Jesus Loves Me 10 different times and they will be good to go. Or the B-I-B-L-E. But it's important because they get that worship sense and they get excited about that. Lessons. Why? They're 2 and 3. So Proverbs says, start your children off the way they should go, and even when they are old, they will not turn from it. And 2 Timothy says, but as for you, continue in the things that you have learned and become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned them and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures. So the Bible tells us right there, infants need to be exposed to the scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Little children are so accepting. They don't have all that baggage that teenagers and adults have, even middle school kids and grade schools now. You know, they have so much baggage. They have so much stuff that the world is cramming in their brains. They don't have that at this point. They are so open and understanding, and Jesus, yep, I believe in Jesus. I believe, like, so quick to understand and believe how much Jesus loves them. So no matter what lesson I do, I always bring it back to God loves us, Jesus loves us, God's providing for us, God protects us, and just constantly bringing that back in. At Calvary here, our Sunday morning lessons and our Wednesday night lessons are the same lessons. So they get the lesson on Sunday, and then they get it on Wednesday again. And it is amazing to me. The kids, I'll open up the Bible, and they're like, I know this story. They are so excited about already knowing the story. And it gives that chance to just, the seeds are already there, but now we're kind of like grinding them into the dirt. You know, this is going to stick. They remember some of it from Sunday. We're doing it again today. I always go to the last week and I review. So we use the Beginner's Bible. And my kids will always ask me, why are there stickers all over it? So this was obviously in a lost and found at some point, and we're using it. When I teach the lesson, I always hold the book up. We talk about the different people. They have stuff to add. Let them add. Even if it's like in the middle of you're talking and they're pointing to it and coming up and crowding around the book, I always let them do that. And all right, back up a little bit so everybody can see. Let's keep going. And I keep going with the story. So right now we're on David. So last week we talked about when Samuel came and anointed David. This week we're doing David and Goliath. So before I start my lesson, I will go back to last week. Remember Samuel and how he came to see David and he said David was going to be the king, but just not yet because they already had a king. I said, now we're going to move to the next big part in his story. So I know David and Goliath was taught on Sunday morning because my son actually taught the lesson in the three-year-old room. So I know what he taught them and what they heard from him. I am just retelling them the same story. And then as I tell it, they're going to be like, oh, I remember he did this, he did that. And then we just talk about how God let all that happen. When I do it, I'll say, oh, he was up against Goliath. Goliath was a giant. Let's see a giant. Ah, let me see a giant. And have them put their hands up and act like they're giants. Now pretend like you're all God's people. God's people are like, oh, no, I'm so scared. And have them act out that they're scared so that they are, like, involved with this story. Anyone that went to the Bethesda workshop earlier today, it's the same thing I do with them. It's the same thing I do in my classroom at school. It just helps ingrain that into them. It gets them involved, and it helps them to remember a little bit more. But we'll go over the story. We'll act it out. We'll do the emotions for it. This one, we're not going to be throwing rocks at people. But like when we talked about the walls coming down, we like marched around the classroom, and then we were like, ah, the walls fell, and the kids fell. You know, like that kind of stuff. Get them really involved in the lesson. It will help them to remember it more. And yes, they are 2 and 3. And yes, 2 months from now, if you talk about the walls of Jericho coming down, will they remember everything? No. But they might remember that God made the walls fall because they remember falling on the ground. And then when we go to the next story of David, I will back up and we'll do, Samuel anointed him because God chose him to be the king. And then this happened. Remember, this is the next part of his story. So they are very excited when the material is familiar to them. And we also have coloring sheets that they work on. So the coloring sheets are kind of geared towards the older kids, but they don't care. They just color. And we'll talk about the characters on the page. Who do you see? Do you remember what this was? We talked about it just a couple minutes ago in the Bible. Remember, the Bible is God's letter to us. He's writing us a text and he sends it in the Bible because they understand that kind of stuff. Where it used to be he's writing us a letter in the Bible, they don't know what a letter is. They think it's ABC. But if I tell them, oh, he sent us a text, they know what that is because they know that their parents are texting on their phone. So try to make it relatable to them so that they understand. But I always go back to God sent us this book because he loves us. And he wants to tell us what we need to do. Get down on their level. So when I do the lesson, for a while we were doing it on the floor because they were on the floor after worship. So we kind of just laid down in a circle and I put the Bible in the middle of the floor. They have now transitioned. They prefer to sit in seats, so we do it from the seats. So I sit on the floor and hold up the Bible in front of me. I make sure that they're kind of around me, circle-ish like. Or we even sit at the table sometime and do it. But one of the things I have changed about my lessons is I used to give the lesson why they colored. But I want them to be focused on the Bible. And I want them to be focused on this is God's word. That's why I don't just tell them the story. So I take out the Bible. I open the Bible. We talk about this is the Bible. This is God's special book. We're going to read a story in it or read a lesson from it. I try not to call them stories because I have found that when you tell kids a story, they believe it's make-believe. I was raised in a faith that the Old Testament was stories. They weren't real. They were parables. So I try to not call them stories because it's the truth. It's fact. So we'll sit down and we'll talk about our lesson, and then they color afterwards. I kind of retell the story again as they're working on their papers, and we talk about what's on the papers. So I have separated that, and I have found that now that it is separated, the discussion part is much better, that they're hearing a lot more information as I'm giving the story. You got to keep in mind, too, their attention span. They are 2 and 3. They are not going to sit for a long time. So you kind of got to move through it kind of quick. I do feel like if I stop them in the middle and tell them to make, like I said, this week we'll be a giant and we'll be scared, and that will give me, like, a minute or two extra in her attention span to kind of get through what I need to get the lesson as I need to get through it. Get excited, be animated. Like I said, we do the feelings and everything, but I always make such a huge deal that I am so excited that this is God's word and this is how he's talking to me and this is what we're bringing out. Relate the story to them the best that they can. So one of the illustrations that Chris used yesterday in one of his workshops was that sin separates us from God. I love that he throws out his arms. And then imagine what would it be like to be separated from your parents. That's something they can relate to. You know, that scares them. And it's relevant because they're also in Sunday school and their parents are in church. So right now they're separated and some of them aren't too happy about it. So try and bring it to them, because if they make that connection, it'll be more important to them. Coloring sheets to reinforce. And always, again, go back to God loves us. This story is showing us how much God loves us. Even when we were talking about the Israelites wandering in the desert, I said God knew they weren't ready. God was getting them ready. He was getting their hearts ready. He loved them so, so much that he wanted them to be there. They just weren't ready. So he was waiting for them to get ready, and they had to stay in the desert until they were ready. So just constantly go back to that. God loves you. Jesus loves you. He died for you. At pickup time, this is a great way, again, to minister to the families. Tell them all the great things that happened. Oh my goodness, today Luca, he did all the motions for all the songs. He's doing so great with that. Oh, Nina was so nice to her friends today. We didn't have any problems. If you got to tell them something that's not so nice, put it in a sandwich. Good, naughty, good. So we're really trying on this. We kept on working on it. We're going to get there. The parents know when they drop their kids off. So we have, again, twos and threes. You're going to have biters and pinchers and even bullies at this point. We have one little girl that keeps pushing down all the little kids. You know what it's like? So we have a volunteer that when she comes in, I'm like, oh, you're on her tonight. Follow her around. So tell them how you're working. Ask them if they see it at home. Do they have any suggestions? Because right away I tell them, oh, she was having some issues. She pushed the child. Yeah, her brother keeps pushing her down and now this is happening. It's like, okay, now we know where it's coming from. Let's kind of nip it in the bud, and you're working together as a partnership. So we are here. They are, it's their child that they're raising, but we're here to support them. You know, so try and give them those supports. Try and let them know this is what we do. Is there anything different you do at home that you think might work here? Try to create that partnership with them. But definitely highlight the positives on the spiritual as much as the behavior. They were so kind tonight. Oh my goodness, they were so cute. They were praying for so-and-so tonight when we were doing prayer. Or they knew the answers to the lessons. They could remember it from Sunday. The parents love to hear this kind of stuff. And again, you just want to make sure that you're keeping that constant contact with them, that as we're supporting these kids through children's ministry, which starts as these little ones, you know, and then as we plant these seeds, they might just be sitting in their hearts for years and years and years. We don't know, you know, but the next teacher is going to water that, you know, and in God's time, those seeds will start to show. But like I said, one of the main, I feel the main points of nursery toddlers is just showing that love to the parents. Parents that are having really stressful day. There have been times where Sunday morning we have a mom come in and maybe dad's at work that day. And by the time they get to nursery to drop off the last one, they're almost in tears. You know, they're frustrated. They're late to church. They're just so overwhelmed. Take that time. Let a volunteer, let somebody go over and pray with them. You know, you kind of try and pick up, are you okay today? You know, and you make those bonds, and that's really, really important to be ministering to the family as well as to the toddlers. Isaiah says, all your children will be taught by the Lord, and great will be their peace. And in this world, there's not a lot of peace. You know, we want to give peace to the parents. We want to give them time to come in, to sit in sanctuary midweek, Sunday morning, get prepared for what's going to happen in their week. Give them that time to just focus on Jesus. Because especially with these little ones at home, we know they're not getting a whole lot of time by themselves. And especially if you have parents that have multiple children. At one point, we had three siblings in our Wednesday night service because they had a baby, a two-year-old and a three-year-old. So you know they're not getting peace at home. You know, they need to be here in that service. So like I said, if you know that limit that the parent has, you know, you can keep their kid back here and they're crying and the parent's okay with it. If you can possibly keep them, even if they're crying in the stroller during the service, most of the service, sometimes the entire service they're whining, they need that break from that. So try to keep that in your back, the back of your mind, but you also want to be honoring their wishes. So if they say they make a sad face, give me a call, then you give them a call. We have a couple children that when parents start to come pick up at the end of service, they start crying because they were not the first ones picked up. So those few friends that by the time the parent does come back here, they've been happy the entire service, are crying because they're not the first ones. If I see people start coming back, I put their number up so that their parent is called to come back. Because if other people are already coming back, then service is over. You know, so it's not disturbing their service, but they will get here and be able to see their child happy in the room as opposed to crying because they just weren't picked up first. And they remembered, oh, yeah, mommy's not here. I'm supposed to be sad instead of having a great time. So are there any questions? I know I talk fast. I'm sorry if that was too fast. Yes.
About how many songs do you do, or like how long
the
first?
Chris does, I would say about 4 to 5 songs. So it's about 10 minutes or so because they're pretty quick songs. But if he gets the vibe when he comes in that they're not going to last that many songs, he will cut it short. He kind of goes by feel. If they're very excitable in the beginning, he will start off with some very active songs like Lord's Army and things like that where they can get some of those motions out and things. Occasionally he'll do a new song with them, but he usually sticks with the same couple songs. But he will kind of go by feel to see how they are.
So you think the songs with the toddlers are more up? So like with our 3-year-olds are upstairs in our pre-K class.
Okay.
In the toddler room, but we've talked about like implementing something like this with our
okay.
Downstairs. And upstairs, our worship songs are scriptural worship.
Yes.
And they're longer songs.
Yes.
So you would you say for like the younger guys, more of like your hymn nursery rhyme kind of thing?
Yeah. So what we do, we usually do the BIBLE. We okay. usually does Jesus Loves Me, the Army Song, the Lord's Army. My God is so big. I like to sing, 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 shout, shout, shout. We do that one. And they like that because there's a lot of actions to that. And they're yelling. They like to yell. Deep and wide. We do deep and wide. And then when he does worship with the older kids, which for us is 4 years old and up, they worship together. When they do worship, they do more of the scriptural, kind of the songs that we sing in church. But we kind of stick to like the little kid songs that are easier for them to remember. He does do some scripture songs with him, but only on the nights where we have a comm group. So that changes things up a little bit.
Thank you.
Yep. Yes, we do all the hand motions and things like that. Yes. Oh, okay. So it's a lot of the same songs that we do. Yes. Yes. So our service on Wednesday night starts at 7 o'clock. It goes to 8:30. Sometimes longer than that. Depends who's speaking. They get picked up at 8:30, so they're back here the entire time. So a lot of kids are here at about, well, I shouldn't say that. Wednesday night people are kind of on time people, so they usually get here at 7. We open the nursery at 6:45, but most of the parents get here around 7. We have quite a few that don't come until about 7:30, and I think that's just because of work schedules, and they get home, they get dinner, they get here at 7:30. And for our worship service, that means 7:30 is usually when worship is over before the teaching starts. So I think some parents, in order to make it easier, just come at 7:30. But like I said, we have had people come here and it's been almost 8 o'clock. But like I said, their kid, at that point, their child is here in time for the lesson. So because we have to wait for Chris to finish all the worship with the bigger kids, our worship doesn't start until like 7:50-ish, and then the lesson is right after that. I tried to deviate from that, and remember how I said they thrive on structure? Yeah, they do not like the Bible story before the music. So on times where he is very late, if something catches him up with the bigger kids, I do try to do that, but the kids don't respond well to that. So. Sunday morning is usually about an hour and 15, an hour 20 minutes. So it's time is a little bit different. It's a little bit shorter. And then our Sunday night services are 2 hours. So it's a prayer service. And they do worship and prayer in the sanctuary. And then they have the kids for about 2 hours back here. But they run things a little bit differently. There's rec time, there's play time, there's lessons. So it's run a little bit differently to kind of fit in that 2 hour span. Any other questions? Yes.
The transitioning point, we have a child that comes in and will not go in with other parents.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you say we get a lot of parents to go in, and she'll try to stay from the man, try to distract the child, but I feel like it's not just the child, but the parent, where they'll sneak away, then they're all like, hover.
Right, and then they pop their head. Yep.
And as soon as the child's up,
they come right back in. Right.
Versus giving us that time to get the child settled. So, like, maybe 2 Sundays ago, she ended up staying in there the whole time.
Right, so.
And my sister was like, are we allowed to have a bad
Okay, so here at Calvary, our policy is that the parents do not stay back. However, if the child is having a really difficult time transitioning, then the parent can stay back. We have had parents stay the entire service, but it's not something that's going to happen every week. And I make sure to explain that to the parent. We're going to let you stay back today, see if you can get them to calm down, get used to the room, but this isn't something we can do all the time. If you want to stay with your child all the time, here's a volunteer packet. But yes. And that's one of the other issues, because Sunday morning is a little bit different because we have overflow and they can take them in there. Wednesday night, Sunday night, they don't have that option. So it makes it a little bit more difficult for them to transition like that way. So we have them kind of come in and kind of phase the parent out slowly to see if that works. Sometimes we have found, depending on the kid, we have had children that have cried and cried and cried, and then all of a sudden 1 week, you know, we're going to do this. We're going to take them in the room. We're going to put them on the floor and let them cry it out and see what happens. And they cry for like 2 or 3 minutes, and then they're done, and they're fine. So it's like all that time that we've been babying them and holding them and snuggling, and the parents come. If we had just left them alone, that could happen. We have a little boy that just moved up, and he's been really tough coming in. And I've gotten into the habit of I will not hold him if he's crying. He's old enough that he understands it. And I put him on the ground. And he doesn't just cry. He screams, like shrill screaming. And I'll tell him, are you all done? I'm not picking you up unless you're all done. And he stops. And I pick him up. If he starts crying again, I put him right back down. And we go through the whole routine. But he's gotten used to that. He knows if he's crying like that, I will not pick him up. So there's kind of something like you have to kind of, that's what I mean about knowing your kids, knowing the families. You figure out how to get these kids adjusted and accustomed. And it seems like the babies, we get them, they're fine. They go to 12 to 18 months and they lose their minds again because now they have separation anxiety. They didn't realize their parents were gone before. Somebody else was just holding them. They didn't really care as anything, but now they realize they're gone. And then they get to 18 and 24 and they've got their mind back again, and they've calmed down. We have some issues with 2s and 3s on Wednesday nights. After they move up, their parents bring them back here on Wednesday night, and they're like, no, I'm a big kid, no, because they associate this with the babies, but Wednesday nights, the 2s and 3s are back here. So it's funny how different transitions are, like, different for different kids. Same thing, we'll have kids that'll be fine the entire time up until they're 2. They go to the 2-year-old room and it's like, it's a different kid. It's like, they never did that before. We've had them in nursery the whole time, and they've been completely fine. So one of the other important things is we try to always stay in communication with the age group above us, so that we can prepare them. I'm not going to say warn. We can prepare them about kids that are coming up. So if I know, because they move up with their birthdays. So if their birthday is approaching and we're still seeing these behaviors, I'm going to go and tell the two-year-old room, you have this kid that's going to be coming up in the next week or so. These are some of the things you need to watch out for. We have one little boy that comes on Wednesday nights and Sundays, and he loves trains. So when he comes in Wednesday night, he plays with the trains. He got transitioned up to the twos on Sunday mornings. They don't have trains in there. So he was crying every week and was making his parents all upset. And finally his mom said, he said, there's no trains in there for him to play with. I'm like, okay, not a problem. So now every Sunday I give him some trains from the nursery. He takes them in the two-year-old room, plays with the trains, and then brings them back here after service. So knowing those little things to transition them into second grade to help that transition be more smoothly is beneficial. And that, again, if you have consistent volunteers in nursery, that we work differently than the rest of Sunday school. Nursery on Sunday mornings, you are on a every four-week rotation. With the other Sunday school classes, it's month on, month off. But we don't want infants especially getting used to the same people week after week after week, and then it's a new month, all new people. You know, so we want to try and keep the people varied so they don't get stuck on one or two volunteers. Now, there are a couple volunteers that are here every week. So there are certain children that if that volunteer is missing, they will have a rough time that week in the class. And we've found that there are certain volunteers that work better with other kids. If we know that volunteer's here, we're going to give them that to make that transition smooth. But once they're in the room, then they just play with all the volunteers. So like I said, that transition piece, getting them into Sunday school, I think it's difficult, but it is so rewarding once they come in happy, and it's a relief to their parents. So if you can keep that transition smooth, that's the best way to go about it. Chris Clark, in one of his, we had monthly meetings, and in one of his meetings, he said nursery was like triage. He said, you bring the baby in, the parent leaves. He's like, the sign-in person is like, okay, here's so-and-so. They like this toy, this toy, this toy. Here's this kid. They like the bouncer. Go put them in there. Here's this kid. Give them the bottle right away. He said, it's like going into triage. He said, every volunteer knows exactly what they need to do with this kid. And that's why, again, getting to know the families and the kids is so important, because you can make that transition so much smoother. Because, you know, if you're dropping off a kid and they're screaming and you're in sanctuary, you're not thinking about the worship song. You're thinking about your kid that's screaming in nursery. Have they stopped yet? Are they still crying? Are they going to call me? Let me look at the number. Like, all that time. And that's going in your head, and that's not productive for being in sanctuary where you're supposed to be worshiping and filling up with God. So we want to make that sure those transitions are smooth as possible. Any other questions? I will also be back here for a little bit if you have any questions, but let's close in prayer. Dear Lord, we just thank you for all the blessings that you give us each and every day, Lord. I thank you for all these volunteers that are taking time, Lord, to come to this conference, to learn just, Lord, different ideas and ways to do things, Lord, and the ideas that they are giving us as well. Lord, we just ask you to bless them, to keep them safe on their journeys home today. And just, Lord, that you continue to fill them and support them with people around them, Lord. And just thank you so much for this fellowship. In Jesus' name, amen.